It's a beautiful morning. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. And you're listening to
Breakfast with Lazy.
Next up, some smooth jazz on your drive to unemployment.
What the fuck?
I know it's mean to say you're green, but you gots to leave WWE. You're not fit to be the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. That's the first verse.
If anybody's looking for a new co-host for any radio show, I'm available.
Good evening, wrestling fans, entertainment fans. This is Anthony of wrestling-news.com. I want to thank you very much for listening tonight.
Oh, how I had no idea that the wrestling world was filled with atheists. Dixie, you are forgiven.
Hi, ho, Kermit the Frog. I am the new GM for Raw. NXT! NXT! Yay!
Get the fuck out of here. Go into the TNA Impact Zone with one of those metal detector wands, and when Hogan comes out to cut his promo and he's doing the air guitar, just turn the fucking thing on. Since youngins do listen, some of your youngins out there do listen, I think it's a little bit too inappropriate to be using the word cunt on this show. People out there, remind me in a little while the word Hindu. That's how the shows go. If you're new to the show, whatever comes to my mind, that's what I say.
Total Nonstop Anthony, that's what you got tonight. Total Nonstop Ant, Total Nonstop Ant, Total Nonstop Ant.
All right, I'm a little annoyed right now. What's up, everyone? It is Thursday afternoon, August 1st, 2019. Welcome to this edition of Breakfast with Blasi. Don Tony here. And some points during this episode, it may sound more like breakfast with blah, blah, blah. But when we get into those topics, we'll have some fun. Why am I not in a good mood? Well, a couple of reasons. Yeah, I am bummed about the passing of Harley Race, 76 years old. If anybody listened to last week's episode of the DTKC show, I specifically said a prayer for Harley Race and told everybody to do the same because, you know, his camp was really dodging some very serious issues about his heart and being in the hospital. And we all were hoping that he could pull through with this one, and unfortunately he could not. He died earlier today. And I know for a lot of you young fans out there, you never had the opportunity to enjoy Harley Race. Sure, I'll be the first one to admit, anybody that watches Harley Race way back in the day when he was in his prime, you know, promo's entertaining, serious, you don't want to cross paths with him, but, you know, you might not find his matches extremely entertaining. But this guy was just a master of what he did. He was an artist in the ring. He told the story. Psychology was so fucking important. Even when he was at the end of his career. In fact, it was this past Tuesday on DTKC Extra. We were talking about some old school wrestlers. And we got on the topic of some people on the net that think that one of the reasons Cody is so pissed at WWE and has such an axe to grind is because of the way they treated Dusty back in the day with the polka dots and that. And that's disgruntled fans trying to put thoughts in other people's minds. Dusty Rhodes was at the tail end of his career. He was having fun. Harley Race, they did the whole King gimmick. He was having fun. He was at the tail end of his career as well. And when he would have matches with certain wrestlers that weren't big-time stars yet, he would put them over. I mean, obviously, it's WWF's decision at the time as far as who goes over and who doesn't. It's not like Harley Race jobbed all the time. I don't recall back in the day when Harley Race finally came to the WWF that we felt that he was just being misused and jobbed out. No, he was at the tail end of his career. I liked the King gimmick. I thought it was great. And we were just talking about it Tuesday. So rest in peace, Harley Race. Just an absolute gem. And, you know, if you follow his shoot interviews, probably the only thing, other than family, obviously, and friends, but probably his second biggest labor of love other than wrestling, I think, is barbecue. I think he loved to cook. So hopefully he's cooking some good old barbecue in the sky. And, great memories, great memories. And they will live on. So why am I in a bad mood as well? There's a reason why I waited till today to do Breakfast with Blase. I usually do it on Wednesdays. Well, if anybody follows me on social media, especially if you are a patron and we're on Discord Tuesday night, you heard Mish and I after DTKC Extra was done. We were just having some tech talk, and the subject of microphones came up. And I have a Heil, I think it's like PR20. I don't even remember the model number, but I got it a couple of years ago. You know, it's one of the top of the line mics. I thought, you know, okay, this is going to be my mic to stay. I have the same mic at the beach house. And I noticed lately, you know, the audio quality is not as great as I want it to be. And that's something that I take pride in. I bust my ass for these shows. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy doing it. If you enjoy it, that's good enough for me. But I also take pride in quality of audio. You know, I'll never forget. I know Kev was just joking back in the day, but it's not a joke. You know, when you have really shitty audio and you just write it off as, oh, I'm old school. Well, you know, that's why you end up on Blog Talk Radio instead of Pandora Radio. And now, since the shows are available on Pandora Radio, one of the only wrestling shows that is available on Pandora, audio quality is so important. It is so important. And, you know, I got the mixer, I got the Mackie, I got, you know, the Heil, the pop filter, the digital recorder for a backup, dual internet. You know, everything is a pride factor. And I wasn't particularly happy with my Heil mic recently. Unfortunately, it's not something you could take apart. I thought maybe the front was a little dirty or dusty. But we got on the topic of electro voice. And even though you may not be into politics or you may not like Rush Limbaugh and others, they have some awesome quality mics that they use. And Mish was telling me about the Electra Voice something 20 or whatever. And I said, man, that fucking microphone looks sweet. It's supposed to make you sound top of the line. It's supposed to really, really be awesome for podcasters. One of our patrons made a little deal with me. I'm not forced to do the history shows till the end of the year because, as I said a couple of times recently, the history shows are coming to an end. It is just too much research. I can't spend 20 to 30 hours a week preparing for those shows anymore. But, you know, I'm not looking to end it yet. When it really interferes with, you know, real life and schedule and work and other things going on, that's when it'll end. Now with me going into surgery in 3 weeks to have the gallbladder removed, you know, that's going to be a hectic week as well. So anyway, one of our patrons who is a huge fan of the history shows said to me, he's like, and I thought he was kidding. He's like, look, I'm not telling you have to do the shows to the end of the year, but if you, you know, really try your hardest, I'll buy you the Electro Voice mic. And I'm like, no, 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 you don't have to do that. And the person just insisted. And reminded me that I did this person a favor not too long ago as well. And I had sent them a couple of gifts from myself and Mish. So I said, all right, you know, if you're going to insist. So he sent me this mic and it was supposed to be delivered this morning. And sure enough, fucking FedEx, once again, the tracking says it's going to be here between 9:30 and 1 p.m. And I'm trying to, like, figure out, okay, how do I go to the office? And I was able to manipulate things. And what do? They show up at, like, 2:30 this afternoon. After the time frame on their tracking, I was already out of my house at the office, and now I got to wait for the fucking microphone until tomorrow. And then tomorrow, I have an appointment with a heart doctor, and it's like, Jesus Christ, FedEx may attempt to deliver this shit again tomorrow. So I unfortunately do not have the electro voice mic today. I wanted to do Breakfast with Blasi with that mic. I was so excited. You know, I know it sounds nerdy and stuff like that, but when you podcast and you really give a shit about your equipment and your sound quality and stuff like that, little things like that kind of excite you. And, you know, look, if you're into podcasting and all this stuff sounds French, well, obviously you don't give a shit about your audio quality, no offense. And if you pull this, oh, I can't afford it, well, then you shouldn't be podcasting, right? Yeah, I mean, even though I'll never be a professional, there's no reason why I should do things on the cheap. And I do scrape and scrounge and save and try to put stuff together, because if you really enjoy what you do and everyone out there enjoys what I do, you know, why would you take shortcuts? You know, this is a labor of love. I love doing this, and I'm pissed, man. Plus, on top of it, don't ask me how it happened. I think I know how it happened. The other day, I bit my tongue. Anybody ever do that? You bite your tongue, like, in the corner of your mouth, like you chew on something, and you, like, try to, like, chew on the side of your mouth, and you accidentally bite your tongue instead. I bit my tongue, like, 2 days ago. And when it first happened, I was like, ow. And then it went away. Today, there's like this fucking, almost like a blister in the corner of my tongue. And sometimes as I talk, I sound a little bit like Sasha Banks, because I can't like let my tongue rest as it normally would. And it sounds a little bit like a lisp. So if I sound a little funny today, that's the reason why. I was like, come on, man, that sucks. And then tomorrow I got to work on a history show, and hopefully the fucking microphone comes, right? Shout out to our new and returning patrons, Pince, Matthew Dez, Simical Dane. Let me know if I'm pronouncing that right. Brian and Kevin Croft. And also, I want to send my condolences to Bob Fernando. Bob, you know, I read what you had sent me. His father passed on. He was never a wrestling fan, but, you know, because his kids were big-time wrestling fans, he would always go out of his way for his kids to take them to wrestling or just sit with them as they watched wrestling. And that's cool, man. I loved your story. And, you know, his dad passed away Wednesday, so my thoughts and prayers are with you. SummerSlam, next weekend. Here is the updated lineup, and it's interesting because of one particular match that I talked about on Tuesday. The Universal title, Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins for the WWE Championship, Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton. For the Raw Women's Championship, Natty takes on champion Becky Lynch. SmackDown Women's title, Ember Moon challenges Bayley. For the United States title, Ricochet versus AJ Styles. With Kevin Owens' career on the line, which obviously I don't think is going to come to an end anytime soon, Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. I can see the Patreon predictions contest now. Everybody's going to give the most points to that match, because if Kevin Owens loses, look, there were, back in the day, you look at some of the stipulations years later and you're like, wow, why didn't I think that stipulation was stupid at the time? You know, if this person loses, like if Austin loses, he never gets a title shot again, even though this was right in the beginning of him, you know, in the Mr. McMahon storyline. You had some in Memphis that they guaranteed that everybody live in the crowd would get their money back if Jerry Lawler lost. You know, it's like, you know it's not going to happen, but because at the time in the storylines, you went along with it. You don't see too many career on the line matches anymore unless someone is legitimately retiring. I remember one, I think that is the stipulation. If Austin lost, he would never get a title shot again. And if Kane lost, or if the Undertaker lost, Vince McMahon would be barred from TV. And sure enough, Undertaker lost, Austin won, Vince McMahon was barred from TV, and he was back on TV 2 months later. So, you know, this is entertainment, everyone. I know, you know, sometimes stipulations are taken back. That's been 100 years, maybe 50, 60 years, whatever. But Trish Stratus versus Charlotte, Sami Zayn versus Aleister Black, Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. And on SmackDown, they announced The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. On Tuesday's DTKC Extra, I was talking about Dolph Ziggler versus Goldberg at SummerSlam. someone had pointed out to me, because I had missed the first 30 minutes of SmackDown originally, that they announced Dolph Ziggler versus Miz at SummerSlam. And on Tuesday, I said, you know, I actually like that match better because, you know, it'll be more back and forth and entertaining. But for some reason, I still feel like Goldberg versus Ziggler could happen. And my instinct apparently may have been true, because reports today is that Miz versus Ziggler is more of a rouge, that Goldberg versus Ziggler will likely still happen at SummerSlam. And you know what? I take back what I said Tuesday. I actually want to see Goldberg versus Ziggler more than I want to see Miz versus Ziggler, for one reason only. Well, two. First off, Matt Riddle. You know, I've expressed my feelings on what Matt Riddle said about Goldberg recently. Not going to get into it again, but you know, that's a big part of it. The second reason is that what went down in Saudi Arabia between Goldberg and Undertaker is not fair to either guy that was in that match. WWE brought back Undertaker and righted the wrong from what happened in Saudi Arabia. They had Undertaker team up with Roman Reigns on the last pay-per-view, did a phenomenal job. Everybody seemed to be happy with it. And that bad taste of Undertaker Goldberg from Saudi Arabia is out of everybody's mouths. The problem is, the bad taste as far as what happened with Goldberg is still there. And I think, you know, look, if someone, you know, is less than stellar in a match, or if they've really worn out their welcome or their expiration date is long gone and they start embarrassing themselves, well, sometimes you let that person hang out there and let it sink in. It was very sad to see Ric Flair after his retirement battling Hogan right before he had his last match. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't try to put all the pieces together. When Ric Flair first went to TNA, yes, it was upsetting because of the whole retirement. But my God, if you were a Ric Flair fan and you thought his career was over and you got to see him do a little bit more, you know, you kind of were like, all right, you know, hey, you know, it's like your favorite baseball player. Your favorite baseball player, you know, calls it a career and they've had a, you know, just a Hall of Fame career and you love their game and you still feel like they could play a little bit, but maybe not. And then you start missing them and then that person tries to make a comeback. Sometimes you root for that person because you like them. Now, wrestling is entertainment. Yes, it has a sports element to it. You know, baseball is a legit sport with no predetermined outcome unless, you know, you were the Black Sox or maybe Pete Rose tried to finagle with games. But the thing is that, you know, Goldberg and Undertaker, you know, you think of the travel, the heat, everything else that transpired. And Goldberg, the last time we saw him on TV having matches, you know, he was fine. He was Goldberg being Goldberg. That was his, you know, his character. That was his repertoire. That was the whole, you know, enigma around Goldberg. You didn't want Goldberg to have 15-minute technical matches and stuff like that, even though, you know, some matches were decent, some were not so good over the years. But I don't think it was fair to either Undertaker or Goldberg to have that match linger and linger and linger and linger and linger and just, you know, really put heat on them. So the idea of bringing Goldberg back now to, you know, unfortunately, in some people's minds, destroy Dolph Ziggler, if he looks impressive, you right the wrong from Saudi Arabia. It's not a matter of, you know, you're trying to fix what screwed up in Saudi Arabia. I don't think either wrestler expected what went down. So if Goldberg could have a decent match with Ziggler, even if it only goes 75 seconds, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. We'll see what happens. Now, if Goldberg, you know, once again has a really subpar match, even if it is for a minute or two, then you got to start thinking, okay, maybe it's enough. Shawn Michaels, when he went to Saudi Arabia, you know, you saw what went down, and Shawn Michaels was quite embarrassed of his performance. And it looks like Shawn Michaels, it would be almost impossible, I think, to get him out of retirement for another match unless there was some real novelty involved with it. I truly believe Shawn Michaels and Triple H, Undertaker and Kane, took that match very seriously in Saudi Arabia. You know, yes, they got a nice payday, but it's the bigger picture that WWE still has this long-term contract with Saudi Arabia. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is, you know, try to fulfill that deal with really subpar, horrible matches. Now, sure, some people in Saudi Arabia may not even care about the quality of matches. Look at the first Saudi Arabia event. I didn't watch it because I wanted to, you know, protest it because of the situation with the women. Hey, you know, I'm not a PC guy, you know that, but I just felt I needed to do that. And I did. But, you know, I've seen little clips and drips and drabs later on. And almost every match, you look at the crowd and a lot of the adult men were not even looking at the matches. They were like just walking away, looking at each other, if they had phones. I mean, not everybody was acting like that, but you saw quite a bit. Look at the Saudi Arabia crowd this past event compared to the first one. I thought the crowd was great this time around. So let's see what happens. It's, you know, obviously the storyline needs to progress, but I will say this. This is WWE booking on the cheap once again. SummerSlam is a week from this Sunday, 10 days away. Next week's SmackDown is the last SmackDown before SummerSlam. So once again, when I say booking on the cheap, you know, back in the day, even if you had older guys in storylines, they would appear on TV, maybe not necessarily every single week, but you get a couple of appearances before they would perform at a pay-per-view. And if they do go forward with Goldberg versus Dolph Ziggler, I see one of two things. Number one, I would rather keep it as a surprise at the pay-per-view because you're going to have him come back next week and, you know, 4 days later, 5 days later is the pay-per-view. So me personally, if you could have Goldberg versus Ziggler, let something happen at the pay-per-view. But I also agree, and I know what some people are going to say right away, in storyline, why would Goldberg be at the pay-per-view? Makes a lot of sense. Something needs to transpire between now and then. Unless, you know, if they keep it off TV and as a surprise, maybe Miz will announce, you know, he can't perform, so he got a replacement and blah, 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 blah. Well, we'll see. Whatever. You know, speaking of ideas, please, I didn't put a lot of thought into it, but when they did what they did on SmackDown Tuesday where somebody attempted to ambush Roman Reigns by having a bunch of things fall on top of him, push whatever. You know, if you actually watch the clip in slow motion, you see somebody's arm, like, push some things. I give credit to some people out there that really have too much time on their hands. You know, isn't it funny, everyone, that you see certain people out there who claim that they work 20 hours a day, who claim when they don't answer your tweets or messages, oh, I wasn't online, but yet they're on fucking social media like 18 hours a day. And there are a few people out there right now that are actually trying, and there is ways of doing this. If you ever watch Forensic Files, you know that this is a legit thing, that they're trying to figure out, based on what they believe is the height from the ground to the arm that pushed the eye. And trust me, this is really happening. And you know what? Look, if you have some extra time and you want to, God bless you. If you could figure it out based on height, God bless you. But I throw a little thought to everybody. But let me finish what I was saying. There are a few people online that have freeze framed that arm that pushed the side. You know, that could have been anybody's arm. Everyone doesn't necessarily mean that whoever it is going to be feuding with Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. That doesn't necessarily mean that wrestler was the one. I mean, what do you think? Every time they have like a mystery partner and they show like the shadow of a wrestler and a banner, and you think that's always the wrestler? Some people used to say, oh, that shadow is blah, 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 so that blah, 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 blah is making a return. No, it's just a fucking shadow, nitwit. But some people out there are trying to measure from the floor to the height of the arm, and they're trying to determine who the height is of the wrestler, and process of elimination, try to figure it out who it is. I just threw it out there. I was looking at wrestlers who haven't been on the on TV all that much, or maybe someone that needs a little bit of a rub for whatever reason. And I thought, hey, why not have Luke Harper, you know, come back and have a little storyline with Roman Reigns? Sure, a lot of people will feel that Luke Harper doesn't need to be fed to Roman Reigns, especially if he is going to be making a comeback on TV. Hey, I didn't think it out all that much. I just thought, okay, maybe that would be a little bit different or a little bit interesting. So, whatever. You know, some people think it'll be Samoa Joe. You know, I don't know. I mean, we will know soon enough. Now, so not so good news for WWE. They canceled the next three SmackDown house shows. This Friday, this Saturday, this Monday. You know, I don't know how many times you could keep blaming on scheduling conflict. Let me interpret what scheduling conflict means this time around. We want all the SmackDown guys on Raw or be available for Raw because we want to try to boost the ratings and we need to make it more interesting. So because they're going to be at Raw, they're not going to be at SmackDown. So those wrestlers have a scheduling conflict, so they can't appear at SmackDown because they're going to be at Raw. So we're forced to cancel SmackDown live events. Let me tell you something. You know, Michigan, Kentucky, I think Illinois might be one of those locations. Keep pissing off your fans. Because although ticket sales were very lackluster, there were quite a few fans that were planning on going. And now WWE has canceled the shows. So, you know, you're pissing off more fans than you're pleasing them. But on a business standpoint, you know, can you blame them for canceling these shows? Could you just imagine, you know, all those photos that'll surface online when they only have about 1,500 people at a SmackDown house show. And again, you know, I will not blame Seth Rollins or Kofi, you know, for the recent woes as far as attendance goes. You can't blame any one individual. Yes, they have taken the title off of Seth Rollins. Don't know if he's going to regain it. I tend to think not. I still think Braun Strowman is next in line that should be getting a big time run. But still, as I talked about on Tuesday, not to try to start controversy, but I'll throw the thought again here now. Does anybody out there almost feel like WWE fears taking the title off of Kofi? That it's not a fear of backlash, don't get me wrong, but it almost feels like they're in a corner that they can't take it off of him right now. That the feel good and all this other stuff, it's like, okay, what do we do in place of it? You know, I mean, you go to Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, there's like 5-6 years, I think, of history. On a history show not too long ago, I think it was maybe a month ago, tops, played a promo that Paul Heyman cut on Seth Rollins in the ring, Brock Lesnar, by Paul Heyman's side. That promo was like 4 years ago or 5 years ago. Not a lot has changed in a lot of ways, especially when I did this week's history show and I'm looking at some of the things from 2-3 years ago and I'm like, wait a minute, that could be today. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But anyway, let's get into some questions and we'll go back to some other stuff. Look, not a whole lot is breaking in the world of pro wrestling. And, you know, we just did DTKC not even 72 hours ago, did the extra show on Tuesday, and not much has transpired since. But some of the questions actually will segue into some news. And, you know, I got to give a little props to Edward Vary. You know, he was submitting questions for shows on Patreon, and he took the time to do a little research. And I want to just share this with everyone. You may not think anything of it, but I found it very interesting. Alexa Bliss, I have complained about her Moment of Bliss segments forever. It's nothing against her personally. She has improved quite a bit. I still hope that she can, you know, get away from the injuries and have a healthy, long career. But you know, this lack of energy on Moments of Bliss, I just don't like it. But anyway, he pointed out that since May, okay, the third week in May, which is about almost 2.5 months ago, her guests on Moment of Bliss, in order, Becky Lynch, Bayley, Nikki Cross, Bayley, Becky Lynch. I don't know. I looked at that and I was like, okay, you know, it's just, I don't know, just very unexciting, right? It just doesn't, I'm not feeling it, not feeling it. I actually, you look at Miz, Jericho's segment he used to do, and all the others, you'd have different guests. And a lot of times, the person doing the talking segment would just be the middleman for trying to, you know, further a feud between two others. And yes, Becky Lynch is not feuding with Alexa Bliss right now, but they keep commingling in matches and stuff like that. And I don't know, it just feels a little subpar. DJ White Sox, will I be doing AEW pay-per-view recaps in the future? Like a little recap show? Absolutely. I will definitely be doing an AEW recap. Now, will it be a co-hosted event? I don't know. I don't know. I will have. Let me put it this way. I can't prepare for shows wondering if co-host or not sees the pay-per-view live on time. You know, work gets in the way. Real life stuff gets in the way. I will make sure that I do an AEW pay-per-view recap going forward. And I'm still skeptical about the weekly live TV. I know some people are a little bit annoyed with me saying that. It's not to bash AEW. You guys have to listen to the shows. And I'm not saying this as giving myself props or credit or nothing. I'm just making a point. If you listen to all of the AEW discussion that's been done on any of the shows that I've been involved with, the only time that I have criticized AEW at all is when the Young Bucks talked about health insurance. But as far as AEW and what's going to transpire, you know, what was the worst thing I said? They're going to be the first millennial promotion? And I think it's actually happening. And if you don't understand what that meant, go on YouTube and listen to the clip. I said this when AEW was first announced as a promotion, and I will stick to it. I honestly feel that that's the case. That's not a knock on AEW. That actually is probably a tremendous compliment to know who your audience is and capitalize on it and make them feel that they have a heavy influence on the product. You know, it's probably smart, but at the same time, though, there's some people who don't know where to draw the line with, you know, their fandomhood of AEW, especially websites and podcasters. You know, overexcited fans is, that's fine. I'm an overexcited fan looking forward to a microphone being delivered. But sometimes when websites and podcasts really go overboard and they're writing stuff, reporting it as news when it's really just their fantasy and assumption, sometimes AEW needs to step up and dispel some of the rumors out there. You remember like 6 months ago, this person's, you know, purposely getting arrested so he could leave and go to AEW. This person is contemplating AEW. This and like 99% of it turned out to be untrue. And as far as AEW goes, I know Tony Khan had that conversation with Steve Austin about it being live weekly on TV. I have seen an on-sale date for their debut show on TNT. That debut show on TNT is 2 months away. Where is the on-sale date for tickets for October 9th's live show? Where is the on-sale date for October 16th, October 23rd? You know, what are you going to announce it 2 weeks before the event happens? No, there's a lot of logistics that need to take place. And I'm not trying to say this is news. I'm just trying to use common sense here. You know, you look at all the press releases that's been made since the TV deal has been formally announced. And the only time that it's been confirmed by anybody that it's going to be live weekly is on a Steve Austin podcast. I just find it a little bit odd that you wouldn't keep forcing the subject. We're going to be live every week, live every week. Nobody is saying it. So until I see those on sale dates for those Wednesdays and it says live show, I honestly think that might have been Tony Khan jumping the gun because it's a Steve Austin podcast and didn't know exactly how to say it. I think he was might have been playing on words, saying, no, it's going to be a live show. Like, the matches are going to be taped live, but not every week is going to be live. You're going to see what I thought originally, like ECW used to do it, like other feds used to do it. You tape one event and you show it on TV a span of 2 to 3 weeks. I had no problem with that in ECW. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think clarity is very important here. And would I prefer AEW to be live every week? Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not speaking for the majority of fans out there. I'm sure a lot of you out there have done this. But over the years, how many times have you read spoilers for TNA, for SmackDown back in the day when it wasn't live? You read the spoilers, you see the matches, and it's like, all right, nothing really stands out to me, and you skip the show. Or you don't go out of your way to watch it when it first airs. I'm not saying that's going to happen with AEW, but if you tape an event 2-3 weeks in advance, and a lot of the names are not household names, you're going to get that core audience that's going to watch every week, but you're not going to get the casual fans that are really going to tune in week in and week out right off the bat. And, you know, as someone had asked on Tuesday, you know, what if the ratings are bad? What if they are subpar? You know, could TNT cancel AEW? Now, I had a nice little debate with Kev on Tuesday because Kev said, hey, if the ratings are poor, you know, anything could happen. AEW could be canceled, you know, right away. I think TNT knows that this is a brand new promotion. They obviously know. They know that you have to build a solid foundation, and a solid foundation is not built in 1 week, one pay-per-view, 1 month. It's going to take quite a bit of time. And I think at worst, after a bunch of months, if the ratings are really bad, I think the worst thing that could happen is they move to a different time slot or a different day. And you got to understand something too. And this is why even more, I'm very skeptical about the live show being live every single week. And this is not against AEW. This is just me thinking outside the box. And when I say this, something tells me that 99.9% of shows out there have not said this. Think about this for a minute. AEW is a brand new promotion. Doesn't even have a foundation yet. You know, doesn't even have its entire roster set for the next 6 months. Okay? Now think about this. AEW goes ahead and books all of these buildings. TNT, I don't believe, has any financial interest in AEW as far as ownership goes. It's not like Spike TV towards TNA and other things. So here's my point. If AEW announces TV live, you know, on sale tickets for the next 3 months, October 9th, 16th, 23rd, 30th, November, blah, 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 December. Now, you have all of these Wednesdays lined up for live TV. What happens if TNT moves the show to a different day or a different time slot? Those events could still take place on a Wednesday, wherever the tickets are on sale and wherever the venues are, but it's no longer a live show on TV. So I don't think you make it live every single week from the get-go when you don't even have the foundation set. And again, please, anybody that's really excited for AEW, I swear on a stack of Bibles, I am not saying this to insult AEW in any way right now. I'm trying to explain why, in my opinion, business-wise, it doesn't seem to make sense to right off the bat, you know, go live week after week after week after week after week where you have no idea what your fan base even is. Yes, there are people online that are very loud and excited. Yes, there are people that are really, really over-exaggerating, like, oh, ticket sales compared to Mania and other things. You need to see some concrete numbers. You need to see them for a few months before you can figure out. Tony Khan is a very intelligent man. Tony Khan's a wrestling fan, and he wants this to work. What Tony Khan is not is stupid, and he's not going to kill his bankroll and just blow boatloads of money simply because he's a wrestling fan and he's excited and we're all excited and this and that. He's going to be very, very smart. There's a reason why he's got that money, and it's not, you know, just inheritance. So, you know, we got to take a step back. That's why I've been saying all along, keep things in perspective. You know, I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. I mean, look, when we were kids and you knew that you were going to go away to a great adventure or go, you know, somewhere with your family, go to Florida or something, and you knew 2 months away and you just couldn't stop talking about it and excited, excited, excited. And your parents are like, you know, take a step back, relax. You know, it hasn't happened yet. You just don't want to get too far ahead of it. Yeah, it's a bad analogy, but you see where I'm going with this. Keep things in perspective, because if it does not turn out the way you think it's going to be as far as format, schedule, and everything else, you know, it's going to not only disappoint fans, but it's going to be a little bit embarrassing on AEW's part. Let them, you know, develop the right way. And, you know, just, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not a TV war, even though, you know, we know the plans of NXT. I got news for you. If NXT was so freaking popular amongst the WWE universe, a lot more people would be watching it on the network. Will fans that, you know, have to make a choice between AEW and NXT, if that does happen on Wednesday, if they're forced to make a choice as far as what they want to watch on television, I think, of course, some fans will probably choose NXT over AEW, because remember, WWE has their main roster. And as I've said on some of the shows recently, there's nothing stopping WWE from having this person on the main roster go to NXT, and, you know, yeah, the wild card rule invades NXT and all this other stuff. There's nothing stopping them from doing that. Unfortunately for AEW, they don't have that luxury of pulling superstars and this and this and this out of a hat. So keep things in perspective, be excited, support them, get the word out, tell others that may not even know much about it. But at the same time, just, you know, use a little common sense. And that's why I just look at the logistics of everything. And I just feel it's almost like Tony Khan may not have been expecting that question on Austin's podcast. And look, if it ends up being live weekly on TV, I don't need anybody to say, oh, you were wrong. It's not a matter of being wrong or being right. I'm just explaining why I just have a hard time, you know, believe in that right now. It's not a negative towards AEW. I want them to fucking succeed. I want them to thrive. I'm a wrestling fan. I've been doing podcasts and hotlines. I'm going to be approaching my 23rd year. You think I do it because I'm lonely? I got a great family here. I got a life outside of this. I got an awesome girlfriend. You know, go away here and there and do things. You know, there's a lot of other things that I could do. Yeah, there's a lot of people that tweet that they do all this stuff and there's no fucking proof at all. But the point is, and by the way, Brian BK, I went the rest of the month of July. I did not say Goofy Podcaster on Twitter. I think for like 3 weeks now. And honestly, I don't even think I need to pretty much anymore. I think I have made my point. John Coffey, do I see Sasha Banks versus Lita anytime soon? Now, obviously, this is after the idea of Trish Stratus returning and her facing Charlotte at SummerSlam. Remember, SummerSlam is in Canada. Contrary to Memphis fans on Tuesday, Canada will go buck wild over Trish Stratus because she is a hometown girl. What this does as far as Charlotte goes, you could look at it both ways. You know, Charlotte, to further herself as a heel, goes over on Trish at SummerSlam. Maybe Trish, because she's a hometown girl and, you know, being another feel-good moment, she goes over on Charlotte. You could look at it either way. The one thing, and I brought this up Tuesday, is a very tepid response from Memphis fans. And was I disappointed? Absolutely. Was I surprised? No. But what I thought was just moronic amongst some podcasters online. And the reason why I always say podcasters and not websites, I want to make this clear. Most websites report news. Yes, a lot of them will post assumptions and fantasy of what they want to see happen, this and that. But most of them do not post blogs and opinions. Most of them do not post opinions on Twitter. Instead, they try to post news all the time. So podcasters are the ones who really voice opinions more than anything else. That's why I always focus on podcasters. I don't belittle fans because, you know, fans have a right, you know, to that opinion. But podcasters, the idea that you could turn around and criticize Becky Lynch for her getting a lackluster pop by the fans, but yet you criticize the fans for giving a lackluster pop for Trish Stratus. You can't have it both ways. I mean, I understand why some people will say, well, you know what, Becky Lynch is contemporary and Trish Stratus is not. Agreed. I blame this on WWE. WWE overshot what they thought the present value is for Trish Stratus. I think Lita, arguably, would probably get a bigger pop amongst contemporary fans than Trish Stratus does. I'm sorry for saying that. When I was a fan back in the day, when those two were at the peaks of their careers, I liked Sasha Banks. I liked Trish Stratus more than Lita. It's not that I dislike Lita right now. I was more of a fan of Trish Stratus. I thought she was excellent, and how she started off and how she ended up was Hall of Fame worthy, absolutely. But WWE overestimated what they thought her current value is. And the result is what you saw on TV this past Tuesday. Now, is every crowd in the United States going to act tepid towards a Trish Stratus appearance? No, absolutely not. But, you know, unfortunately, you got what you got. And if SummerSlam wasn't happening in Canada, I did common sense, Trish Stratus would not be wrestling Charlotte at the next pay-per-view. But hey, you know, Trish Stratus is not old. She's, I think, 40 or 41. The match, Charlotte is an architect in the ring. So they will do fine together. I don't think it's going to be sloppy. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But as far as Lita taking on Sasha Banks, let's get Sasha back on TV first. That's my opinion. I still feel like Sasha Banks versus Bayley is unfinished business. It sort of seems like the most sense to do. I don't want to see Bayley lose the belt and then they reunite Sasha and Bayley as a team and have them do tag team runs again, because right now the tag team division for the women is just really sad, to say the least. And there's no knock on the women. You know, this is the way WWE utilized it. WWE just totally screwed up a big part of their roster at the expense of Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey for WrestleMania. What they did for those 7 months, they hurt a lot of people. Not intentionally, but they put all their eggs in one basket for one match. And then after it was over, especially that Ronda Rousey got injured and she went home to have babies, you know, they were left like, oh, fuck, what do we do now? And early on, they tried to make Becky Lynch Ronda Rousey number two, you know, with Becky Lynch's own style and character, and it didn't seem to click. And then all of a sudden, she turned into this character of just being an asshole, being a dick. Oh, you know, Becky, you look nice today. How about I smack you across the head, you dolt? I mean, this is not Becky Lynch in real life. And this is why Becky Lynch and the dynamic that she has with Seth Rollins on TV is just not clicking. Because Becky Lynch is not an asshole in real life. You know, a lot of stars over the years, they were allowed to be an extension of themselves multiplied to the 1,000th degree. Very few wrestlers were able to go completely outside the box and be a complete 180 of what they are in real life. So, unfortunately, you know, Alexa Bliss, she's got her character and she's injured. And Nikki Cross is got a little bit of a fan following. And, you know, even though she's a heel right now with Alexa Bliss, you see it's only a matter of time where Alexa Bliss, you know, just abuses Nikki, I don't know, physically, emotionally, and Nikki breaks away and they have their bullshit match and the fans start showing love to Nikki Cross. You go down the line, Dana Brooke has zero momentum. Alicia Fox has really not had much given to her lately. Natty, you know, I know a lot of people just feel like, why is she in this position that she's in? You know, she is a veteran and she still has some value in WWE's eyes. I'm a fan of Natty's and I will continue saying what I said, what, last year? When they did the switch of some of the wrestlers on different brands, I thought Natty to Raw was the most important one out of them all. But you step aside, you can't have the women's division always focused around four or five people all the time. You have to elevate some people here and there. Ember Moon versus Bayley, although Ember Moon definitely deserves this shot because she is a legitimate competitor. She's talented. Everybody loves her in-ring work. She hasn't been utilized. Look at the fucking Kabuki Warriors. Look at what they've done to Asuka. You can't have it focused around four or five women and then everybody else. Because all you need is one injury, one this, one that, and what the fuck are you left with? Ronda Rousey had to leave. Sasha Banks left. And what are you left with? They can't even figure out how to use Charlotte the last bunch of months. Yes, Charlotte had some injury. The point is, you know, you can't look at the tag team division. You know, the Usos versus New Day. Remember when they showed respect in the ring? The feud was over, respect. They move on their separate ways. Go count how many matches that they had after that, whether teaming up or against each other. And just when you thought, okay, you know, New Day's reign, tag champs, enough, done. Let's start pushing some other people for a couple of years. You know, it seems like, okay, when it's really at a lull, we'll put the belts back on New Day. I have no problem with New Day being champs, but you kind of scratch your head and you look at all the other tag teams out there and it's like, okay, why aren't you investing more time? You know, Heavy Machinery, if they win the tag belts at WrestleMania, I'm sorry. 10 years from now, we're not going to say, oh my God, remember that WrestleMania moment when Heavy Machinery won the belts? No. Strike while the iron is hot. You know, maybe they didn't need the titles two pay-per-views ago, and maybe the last pay-per-view, they were getting a little bit closer. But it just, I don't know, I'm confused with some of the ideas that WWE is pushing right now. Jeffrey Collins, do I see 205 Live being around in the future on the WWE network, or will the division be integrated back on the main roster? I don't know if you listen to all of my shows on a regular basis, but I have said quite a few times over the last couple of months, 205 Live is approaching its end, in my opinion. It's a shame because there are some really good talents there, and you just look at them and you know some of them are just not going to be integrated on the regular main roster well at all. WWE has a hard time even getting Ali or Buddy Murphy or others, you know, getting in their prominent role. And you're going to fucking take all these 205 Live guys? Where do you put them? So it almost feels like because of so many of the wrestlers, that's why 205 Live is still around. It certainly ain't for ratings. It's got no buzz. There's a world of talent there, but it's weird because if anybody remembers back when this man was released, you might remember, the clip is on YouTube. People at the time thought I was fucking nuts when I said it, but I said, when Enzo got let go, and you remember when Enzo got the Cruiserweight title and the net was fucking shitting all over it, and I said, you know what, I actually think it's going to be really entertaining. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. The clips are there. You could go see it for yourself. The reason why I'm bringing it up is it still feels like after Neville, after Enzo, and even Austin Aries to an extent, once those three guys were gone, 205 Live was pretty much history. And it's a shame because they have some great fucking talent there. It just doesn't mesh anymore. Maybe you bring some to NXT. Maybe you have, you know, this involved in NXT. I don't know. But as far as wild card rule, I do not like it for Raw and SmackDown right now unless it leads to a storyline at Survivor Series. But as I said earlier, there's no reason why you can't tease that. If NXT goes to regular TV and not the network, if they go on cable, especially if they go head-to-head with AEW, there's no reason why you can't tease a little bit of wild card rule in NXT. And you almost guarantee that that will happen. So we'll see. Roger Rubio, what makes, this is a great question, what makes a good episode of Monday Night Raw? The match, the promos, what's my favorite Raw episode the last couple of years? I can't give you a specific Raw episode. I know a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, I actually enjoyed this Raw more than recent memory. I don't have any Raws, you know, from start to finish in, you know, years and years and years that I could say to you. I mean, if you listen to the history shows, there are a couple of times where I brought up some matches from a Raw, and I said, if you want to go back and just pick a random Raw from start to finish, enjoy it and enjoy it tremendously, I've named several back then. But here's the thing. Right now, you know, a Raw episode, what I don't like is where it opens up every week with the same people saying pretty much the same thing, and it just gets really complacent and boring. I have said repeatedly, I'm a fan of Shane McMahon on TV. He definitely serves a purpose. He was the one that got the most heel heat, maybe next to Baron Corbin, when it comes to feuding with Roman Reigns. Shane McMahon is great. But we don't need 8-minute promos. We don't need a 50-word statement said in 500 words. You know, maybe if you're doing a podcast like me and you want to do 90 minutes and you really only have 40 minutes of content, you might want to take your time in some things. But when you have a certain format, I don't need the same open week in and week out and week in and week out. I don't need this, oh, we go to commercial break and no wrestling takes place at the commercial break. If your product is strong enough, fans are going to stick around after the commercial break is over. You know, it's not like, oh my God, what did I miss? I missed 2 minutes. Oh, I ain't watching wrestling. What the fuck is that? What kind of mentality? I don't know who the fuck thought that that was a brain scheme great idea. But 2 out of 3 falls matches and the first 2 falls are a minute, 65 seconds, 45. How is that good? The idea that, you know, oh, AJ Styles is wrestling in the match. The club is at ringside and they're not even interfering, but they restart the match. Why? Because they need to go to a commercial break and they're just trying. It's fucking dumb. I mean, maybe young kids and fans that don't take the product that seriously, just casually watch, may not give a fuck. But regular fans, this has not been a smart move on their part. They're throwing shit on the wall, trying to see what sticks. I get it. Total nonstop action. You know, blah, 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 blah. Let's just everything on TV, blah, 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 blah. No interruption. Instead of wasting time of 3 minutes of watching someone come down to the ring, I get it. We'll have them come down to the ring during the commercial break, and when they come back, they're in the ring. That is fine. But what they've done to matches, it's terrible. It's terrible. You need to be able to have a 15-minute match. I don't care if there's a commercial break. But on paper, you look at these results, you go back and you see matches, 45 seconds, a minute and a half, a minute 10, 15 seconds, 2 out of 3 falls, matches restarted with no rhyme or reason. That's god-awful. So for me, you know, if you do a little bit outside the box, you have a little surprise here and there, an appearance. You don't use the same fucking outcomes that this person's feuding with this person. And to hype up a little dissension, you team them up together and they don't get along and they lose and it causes friction. Yeah, you do it once in a while, but when you do it in every pay-per-view, it sucks. Another one, you know, you're feuding with someone and, you know, you're wrestling someone else and another person that you're feuding with's music hits and you get startled. And if you're a heel, you get rolled up. And if you're a face, you get attacked and cheap shotted from behind and you lose. And it's what, I mean, over and over and over again, it just seems like the same fucking format. You know, it's almost like a 9-inning baseball game. Sure, you know, when you have a baseball game, it's not predetermined. So, you know, you could have unexpected heroes. You could have people fucking have awesome games that you wouldn't expect. You could have people who are superstars have god-awful games. You could have blunders. You could have... It's so unpredictable. With wrestling, though, it just seems like they go with the same format. It's like, okay, we know that the game is going to end 3-1, and we know that this team is going to win. So we're going to have these players on the field, and this person is going to hit the home run, and this person is going to cause the error, and this person is going to do this. And next week, we'll do the same thing again, but instead of this person hitting the home run, we'll have this person hit the home run. And it's like, come on. It just feels like they're just going through the motions sometimes. It doesn't feel any, like, creativeness to it. You know, the Lashley Strowman special effects thing was cool, and it was great the way it opened up. It's not the first time we've seen special effects and explosions and stuff like that. You know, but nice little things where the arena got black for a little while, or this and that. Little things like that. Think through. Detail. Things like that. I like. So, you know, I can't give you the quintessential great Raw right now because we haven't had them, but Raw will never be 100% awesome from beginning to end. I don't know any shows out there that would be awesome from beginning to end. But, you know, there's a certain format. Think outside the box and don't have it so predictable every single week. Unpredictability is such an awesome thing in pro wrestling. D-Boy Gentleman, I'm wrestling in the main event of WrestleMania. What's my entrance music, person managing me, and the announce team calling the match? I can't answer that, and it's not a cop-out. I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to answer it differently. I wouldn't wrestle. I had a couple of matches. Wasn't good. The brawl that I had in Long Island was a lot of fun with a few wrestlers. It was a six-man. It was just a wild brawl. We got banished from the building, you know, after that. And that's why I actually quit VPW. They just had a lot of problems with it. I had fun, but I loved doing the managing back then. I mean, I was never great, but I had a lot of fun. And, you know, I'll never forget, you know, my biggest critics who used to really go to town with me online. I remember one time that I was managing at an event in Long Island, and the article's still online. I would never post it because I don't like bringing attention to myself like that. Yeah, I, you know, put a lot of attention to myself in the podcast, but that's as far as I go with it. But I'll never forget, there was one particular wrestling event in Florida, in Long Island, and it was a decent card. There were some big names on the card as well. And from beginning to end, the event took place, and someone who was one of my biggest critics wrote a review. And the person gave the show not a good review. But somewhere in his report, he said for Don Tony to be the best person, or the person who really did the best job the entire show. You know, obviously it was an insult to me too, but the point is that, you know, to have someone actually, you know, see that, you know, I put in the most effort. I tried. I didn't do well. You know, I had a lot of, you know, things against me, but I wouldn't wrestle at a main event of WrestleMania. I don't have that mindset, you know, in front of 60,000, 70. I know it's fantasy and things like that. Entrance music would be some fucking, you know, mafia type stuff. I actually used the theme that I always used with Blah Blah Blah. I used that song when I used to do stuff for indie shows in Long Island. I wouldn't have anybody manage me. Me, I would love to manage a team that is an extension of, you know, Italy. You know, that's why I had fun, you know, doing a little bit of stuff with Reefer and Jay Lover. You know, doing the BQE thing, the Brooklyn Queens, but, you know, it was a little bit of Italy mixed in with it, even though I don't know if Reefer is Italian. I never asked him, but we did that Goodfellas spoof, that photo that time, and we had a lot of fun with it. It was great. So me, I wouldn't wrestle. I would manage, and I would want to manage something with like a Queens or an Italian thing. I think I would have fun with that. Stephen Lane, he's a huge baseball fan. Maybe he's old school, but the state of MLB right now is unrealistic. He used to love it a lot more. The home runs are completely out of hand. It's not even fun. Home run, strikeout. Sammy Sosa is his favorite baseball player of all time. And he was into big steroid guys like Canseco and Maguire. But nowadays, it's unreal that every team's 1-8 hitter has 20 home runs. Well, Stephen, you know, let me put it this way. I go back to some of the teams from the 90s. First one that comes to mind, I think, is the 98 Yankees. Look at the averages and home runs on that lineup from top to bottom. Pretty damn impressive. I think the problem with baseball right now is too many strikeouts. I don't have a problem with instant replay or anything like that, but I've said this before. It seems like a lot less larger-than-life characters. People walk on eggshells because of social media. Some people are, you know, behave a little bit outside the box, but you don't have the characters like you had from yesteryear. And if you have a badass in baseball, you get so ripped apart by the PC community and social media and everything like that. A lot of, you know, GMs don't want that attracted to their team. They think it's a nightmare. Sure, you got superstars. Sure, you got stars of tomorrow. But unfortunately, you know, baseball has had its up and downs. I mean, look at the late 70s. Yeah, you had the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Pittsburgh Pirates. You had a few others. But there were some parks that only drew 3,000 people, you know, to their shows. I mean, unfortunately, plus it depends on where you live, too. You know, you live in an area where your team is not doing all that spectacular, even worse. You don't even have a team in your area. It may not be as fun. But, you know, baseball seems to be a little bit having a lull right now. I will admit that of all the years of me watching baseball, 2019 has been one of the top years of me watching the least. I just, maybe because I don't have enough hours in the day with so much other stuff going on, but, you know, right now it just feels, you know, the idea of the three outcomes. What do they call that? Home run, walk, or strikeout? I just think it's a little too much of it. But the larger-than-life characters, the personalities, that seems to be lacking more than anything, in my opinion. Now, like I said earlier, there's going to be a little bit of breakfast with blah, blah, blah. As you just heard, it wasn't wrestling, sort of. But, yeah, we'll have some regular topics mixed in because our great patron sent in some questions. I still have more wrestling stuff to get into, so have no fear, everyone. But before I go any further, I want to give some special shout-outs to our associate producers and sponsors. Shout out to Tyke Z Bowers, Neil McLeod, Vic Condor, Garcia Kane, CM Black Pixels, Jacob Esten, Michael John Buchanan, Stell, Jerry Stewart, Johnny Marin, Michael Westfall, Brandon Foley, Chuck Lentz, Tony, Chris Harris, Keith Doherty, John Krauser, Roger Rubio, Fatty 316, Stan the Man Loudon, Don Tony's political advisor, D-Boy Gentleman, Ernesto Defensa, Timothy Keel, Kane Shaw, Jeffrey Collins, James Mills, Cockboy, Jay Smoothie, Tom Baffa, Joseph Nikoluk, Nico Time, Michael Rhino, Paul Convoy, Adam DeMoy, Billy Taylor, Hassan Al-Hashmi, Brent Webster, Aaron Kloss, Out in the Here, Anthony Smith, James Gruesome, Mark Israel, Bob O'Mac, CJ Uihara, Switch Babe, Courtney Summers, Crestman, James Deal, Diogo Nobre, John Coffey, Tim Everhart, Andrew 914, Donald J. Trump, Russell Zavala, Merck Coombs Jr., Douglas McKay, Keith Lee, James Farmer, John Garcia, Larry Trailer, Mad Dog No Good, Tommy Pekeshi, Zach Spoonamore, Chris Lumna, Rich Maharg, Julian LeBlanc. Happy birthday, Julian. Big Red, Brandon Rice, Carl Buteau, a.k.a. Cheese and Rice, Spider Lewin, the Metaphor, Isaac Fox, Rob McCabe, Brian Byrne, Daniel Warren, and Michael Cuomo. They are our associate producers. I know you've heard some of those names for a couple of years now, but they are dedicated. They, along with all other patrons, are sponsors. They are the reason why this show is free for everyone. They are the reason why we're still doing this, to be honest with you. You know, just not just, you know, financially, but just really dictating, you know, the direction of a lot of content on the show is what we focus on, what we don't, giving us ideas for other things. And if you want to stop by our Patreon, especially today's August 1st, you get the whole month. Patreon.com/DonTony. And for as little as $2, you can get access to some great content. $5 gets you the whole ball of wax. You know, if you want to be a VIP-er, you could go check out that tier as well. And by the way, you know, as I said a couple of days ago, for everybody who signed up the last week of July, I didn't forget about you. Because everybody gets charged for their contribution the first of every month. Everybody signed up the last week in July, you got charged again August 1st. So everybody who was charged twice, the last week in July and August 1st, I will be refunding you. You will not be charged twice in 1 week. I think I'm the only podcast on Patreon that does that. But that's me, and that's what I want to do. Nobody tells me to do otherwise. And by the way, special shout out to Stell. I've always plugged Shoot the Defense, but he has a Patreon as well, and he has it as little as $2. You get access to shows that are not available online. He's got shows that go back all the way to 2013. Interviews, match reviews. If you're into soccer, honestly, go check it out. Shoot the Defense. I get nothing in return other than a thank you. And he is great people. And I know a lot of you out there already support his shows. So please go check him out. Let's get back to some wrestling. Paul Bielowski, by the way, I'm glad you got the breakfast soup and wrestling soup shirt. Say that fast 10 times. See, now the blister on the tongue is starting to interfere a little bit, starting to hurt a little bit. And I'm pissed. I wanted that microphone today. He would love to see a face faction stand up to Shane McMahon. What do I think? And who would I use? One caveat, no Roman Reigns, no Seth Rollins. And he feels that one of the failings of WWE is the poor push of heels. No heel goes on a big run as a face would. Well, yeah, you know, I know a lot of people would put Brock Lesnar in that category. Problem is, Brock Lesnar doesn't wrestle enough. And that's his contract. That's what he negotiated with WWE. You have a problem with it, blame WWE. As far as somebody feuding with Shane McMahon's army, you know, Kevin Owens, I think, has been doing a pretty damn good job. I mean, as I said last week, not many wrestlers can pull it off as a good, clear-cut babyface and as a good, clear-cut heel. Now, obviously, Kevin Owens is not going to be, you know, kissing babies and being, you know, role model on TV, even though he is a great parent from what I see and, you know, what is described. But he's not that quintessential person. He's more like the everyday dad that, you know, the dad bod and all that other stuff. But he's fucking talented as hell. And he's doing a great job as the babyface right now. And, you know, great point that I brought up before. You know, it was very, very recent that he attacked Kofi. Remember? He was an honorary member of New Day. And then he fucking attacked him. And then he turned heel and he feuded with Kofi. And then he didn't go to Saudi Arabia and they gave the next run, it seemed, to Dolph Ziggler instead. And he was seemed like to be in a lull that Sami Zayn is still in. And then they turned to babyface and the fans quickly forgot about him turning on Kofi and they were fine with it. So he pulled it off. So good for him. As far as others, you know, it's got to be someone that really gets under people's skin for the right reasons. I'm not talking about Baron Corbin, but unfortunately right now you don't have that. And, you know, when you have certain people who are monster heels and then you see them doing good things online or it's mentioned, it kind of like takes away from the aura of being a good heel. You know, Baron Corbin, as much as we can't stand him and as much as, you know, I think he's god-awful to be considered a main eventer, nothing personal, one thing you can't take away from him, you know, people seem to think that this guy is a cock in real life. You know what I mean? Like, even online, you heard him get that award at that music thing in the city not too long ago, and he did an interview, and I was impressed. I was like, oh, you know, he actually looks like a pretty stand-up guy. But that's not what you want with Baron Corbin. You want him to be asshole 24/7, 365. You don't get that all that much anymore. Stephen Lane, I'm very correct when I said Hispanics celebrate their birthdays. It's treated like a national holiday, and it's fucking annoying. I agree with you, man, but it's much more than Hispanics. And for those that didn't hear my original comment, it's not controversial. We were talking about birthdays. I don't make a big deal about my birthday. To me, it's just another day. But my girlfriend, she wants a fucking parade. And I said, I can't understand grown adults that, you know, hey, everybody, look at me. It's my birthday. I'm going to have this big party. We're going to have cake and balloons, and I want everybody to go. And yeah. I mean, come on. You're not fucking 13 no more. And it's like, when you see that, to that over the top, there's where you could sense the loneliness. When you see that over the top hype, there's nothing wrong about posting your birthday online, and you're going to go out, you're going to have fun, and you just, you know, you thank everybody for the birthday wishes, and you're going to have a great day. Of course, that's expected. When you got to make this over the top, like we got to fucking make it a national holiday, whenever you see someone do that, follow their social media, follow what they do every day. More times than not, you will see a pattern. Making claims, sympathy, announcements, they rescued this, they did that. Never any proof. Always looking for acknowledgement, always looking for likes, always looking for attention. And, you know, the over the top, I need attention because it's my birthday thing, that's the telltale sign that that is somebody who is, I hate this. I don't mean it in the suicide sense, because suicide you do not joke around with. But this is someone who is given up on having a real life, that they are content. And look, if you're content, if someone would have the balls and say this, I would respect them. But when you have people online that have decided that getting likes from people and hopefully from celebrities and interacting on social media 18, 20 hours a day, trying to get attention, writing one-liners as a grown adult who you sound like you're 14, and doing things just to get noticed, just to spark a response. And then when the attention starts to wean and you're not getting that much attention anymore, you lie and you say, you're doing this, this is happening to you, pray for me, blah, 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 blah. Just got laid, and this is tonight, and then a boo 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 boo, a da 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 da, a dee 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 dee, a da 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 da. Sound like Caddyshack. No, but come on, man. And then there's no proof ever. Nothing. Zero. A tweet. And then you see it over and 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 over again. No, I have no respect for people like that. I don't care if they're the nicest people around. I do feel bad for them. Somebody asked me, do I have sympathy on some of the people that I talk about? I don't mention their names. We mention them privately amongst ourselves, you know, in conversation. Most of the names none of you know. Just about all of them you don't know. But, yeah, no, I do feel bad for them. But, you know, hopefully, you know, one day they will take a step back. But, look, if you just admit it, like, look, I'm happy with staying at home, fucking having nothing, you know, and just talking to people online and working, you know, whatever, and doing nothing else. All right, that's cool. You know, fine. But, you know, when you lied and you did this, you lied about this, you say you did this, you try to portray yourself as this fucking, you know, no. No respect, never any respect. And the over-the-top birthday is usually the warning sign that, you know, maybe you want to examine this situation a little bit further. But the funny thing is that my girl has no Twitter account. She opened up a Twitter account not too long ago to follow me, see what I was saying online, and I blocked her. Because I was like, I don't want you on Twitter fucking following me. That's all. And she was going to comment on some of my stuff. I said, that's all I need is fucking trolls to start following you. You know, it's almost like Trump. You know, people can't stand Trump, so they'll fucking take it out on his family, they'll take it out on his friends, they'll take it out on people on his fucking, in his government, and it's their way of saying, you know, you're going to pay for Donald Trump's sins. And I think almost everybody out there agree with that. I don't need my girlfriend to pay for my sins. She's a very nice girl. She stays out of trouble. She don't do too much out, you know, she goes out, you know, to the supermarket. That's a big deal. She's a nice girl. We don't need that controversy. Trump's secret gay lover. If I was the governor of New York or the mayor of New York City, what laws would I get rid of? What laws would I put in their place? The only thing that I could think of right now is something I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, and I was very, very happy to see what I saw on TV yesterday. This idea of throwing buckets of water onto cops is disgusting. That should be assault. Whoever does that should be thrown in jail. Two wrongs don't make a right. You don't justify bad behavior with other bad behavior. You know, if a cop harassed my family, You know, sure, I would. There's a lot of things I probably would want to do. But unfortunately, no one is above the law. And I just think that's wrong. And the idea that people, you know, are that, you know, in your face, like, you don't scare me, I'm going to fucking torment you and taunt you and throw, you know, look, there's no denying it that blacks and minorities have been stereotyped and treated like shit by law enforcement more than whites or anyone else. Bar none, no disagreement from me whatsoever. It is terrible. It should not happen. And there are a lot of cops that don't know how to handle, you know, when there's a spur in a moment, split second decision. You know, not everybody has balls of steel when they become a police officer. You know, you may think you have balls of steel. You can train for confrontation with a gun. You could train for certain things, but unless you're in that real life situation, you really don't know how you'll react. And unfortunately, you see some tragedies where a cop will fucking shoot someone who is unarmed. Because that person, when it came to a real-life, split-second, you know, moment decision, they couldn't handle it. You see a cop struggling with someone. You know, look, I don't think anybody who kicks a cop's ass should be blown away because of it. I don't condone violence on a cop, period. My point is, if you're a cop, if I'm a person, I am a person, I'm a man, I'm not a shark. If I'm in a supermarket, a club, a restaurant, fucking something, somebody disrespects my girlfriend, my mother, my father, whoever else, or we just get into a confrontation, and or even if I start it, I cut somebody off of my car and I get my ass kicked. I got my ass kicked. Whatever. You know, what am I going to do? Because I'm a cop and I'm getting my ass kicked, that gives me the right to blow someone away? No, you got your ass kicked. Doesn't mean your life is in danger. And some people just can't handle it. Now, with that said, though, you cannot, you know, do this to the cops. You know, when you saw 50 years ago that god-awful footage of white people spraying black people with hoses and dumping water on them because they thought that they were dirty and garbage and all that else, that's disgusting, all right? That doesn't mean because it happened to your grandparents that you have the right to take a bucket of water and do it to someone else. You don't justify bad behavior with other bad behavior. You set an example, and hopefully people learn from your example, and you inspire people to do the same. That's the only way this shit will stop. And what's happening with those police officers is terrible, disgusting. It's got to be a felony. You imagine you douse a cop with water and somebody fucking robs a store on the corner and you try to run after someone and you fucking slip on your face. Yeah, you might think it's a funny YouTube moment, but, you know, say that to the person who just got fucking kidnapped or somebody who just arm robbed somebody or whatever it is. You can't fucking put a cop, you know, try to interfere with it. No, you just can't do that. And I'm sorry if people out there don't like this discussion or don't agree with it. Respect how I feel. I respect how you feel. That is the one thing that I would change right now. So I wouldn't put anything in its place. I would just take what's going on, make it a felony. Because trust me, I say this. There's a lot of you out there that never needed to call 911. There's a lot of you out there that may have been lucky to never have had any experiences with cops, all right? There may be some of you out there that have had really bad experience with cops. Unfortunately, though, if something happens to you, somebody puts a gun to your head, somebody's robbing your house, somebody's doing something to one of your loved ones, what are you going to do? Let me call the mafia? Let me fucking call Joey Boomba at 3 o'clock in the morning. Let me call my fucking posse up in fucking New Jack City and come down and fucking do a drive-by. No, you're going to either call 911. You're not going to turn around and say, I ain't calling the cops because they're assholes. You can't judge everybody the same way. You can't judge everybody the same way. There's dirty cops. There's dirty in everything. Terrible what's going on. Morrell Coombs Jr., yes, I've heard Trump's comments about bashing Baltimore. Some have taken it personally. Him, not so much, because he lived there, and he lives there all his life, Morrell. A lot of people would love to leave it but can't afford to. His heart's in the right place, meaning Donald Trump, but where is his brain? The city, to improve, to become a better place to live, he's just going about it the wrong way. Maybe it's old reverse psychology tactic. Why do I think, you know, Trump is going about it the wrong way? I this is how I interpret it. What Trump is doing right now is everybody who is in government that is, you know, spending their time, you know, bashing the border, bashing him, you know, trying to find witch hunts. Basically, what he's decided to do is say, hey, Cummings, you know, you want to keep doing this stuff to me? You want to waste this oversight committee on the border and this and that? What about Baltimore? What have you done the last 20 years? It's not a racist thing. He's basically saying, before you fucking talk about other areas, clean up your backyard first. You know, I have a fucking house. Oh, my God, what the fuck did you do to your house? It's in shambles. And meanwhile, my house is fucking even worse. That's basically what he's doing. It's not polished. The idea that it's racist, I think, is just dumb, to say it bluntly. I use New Hampshire as an example. Look at the percentage of black people in New Hampshire. When Trump said what he said, was that racist? No. I don't know how far back you go in my shows, but a lot of you may remember this. About 3 or 4 years ago, I talked about this. My father drove to Florida. Father has property in Marco Island. He needed to bring a bunch of statues and appliances and furniture to Florida. Obviously, couldn't ship it. So he drove all the way to Florida. He went with someone who was working for him. And then on the way back, he wanted to stop in Baltimore to get crab cakes. This is about 3 or 4 years ago. I talked about it on the shows. I know a lot of you will remember this story as soon as I say it. And he said, you know what? Let's go to stop in Baltimore to get crab cakes. Right near where the Baltimore Orioles play, Camden Yards, there's some very famous seafood outlets that sell crab cakes. In fact, you could buy them on Goldbelly. In fact, I don't know, Mish, did I get you crab cakes that time? I don't remember if I did, but so my father stops in Baltimore. My father has no idea that certain areas of Baltimore is what you see on TV right now, because that's been like that for, you know, over a decade, if not two or three. So he gets off the highway, he's driving through Baltimore, and he's looking and he sees people on drugs, fucking people, just looking like zombies in the street. And my father's, I mean, he told us all this after the fact, but he's like, the fuck did I do? And my father's driving, you know, a pretty nice truck, because obviously he needed a truck because it's, you know, he brought furniture there. So a cop pulls him over, and the cop says to him, what are you doing here? Because obviously he knew that my father did not belong in that area. My father either was lost or my father was looking to buy drugs. So my father explains to me, he's like, I just came back from Florida. I live in New York, and I figured I'd stop by in Baltimore, pick up a bunch of crab cakes, you know, for their famous crab cakes, and go home. The cop's like, you can't be around here. You're going to fucking get yourself killed. The cop gave a police escort to my father all the way to the crab cake place. My father bought the cop a crab cake sandwich too, and then escorted him back onto the highway, and my father went home. My father said he never saw anything like that neighborhood. He said it was just something you never could a million years imagine. Now it's my father just going to crab cakes. Imagine people living there all year round. It's sad, man. It's sad. I think, you know, you have these sports players that live in and around that area that are offended by Trump. That's because their pride is hurt. Let me make this clear. Grant Hill and everyone else, no one is going to turn around Baltimore on their own. It's got to be a collective effort. And although Trump went about this in not such a great way, it did bring attention. The guy is so polarized right now. If he just says, you know, I don't know what's up with McDonald's. Their biscuits are no longer. Do you realize the fucking, you know, like tidal wave of news that'll come out of that? Every person on social media will know about McDonald's biscuits, and maybe we'll even go buy a biscuit just to spite Trump. So that guy knows if he opens his mouth, it is going to, you know, just flood the newswire. So maybe the way he went about it was wrong, but I hope to God Baltimore could straighten out. Seriously. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. When you're addicted to drugs, just because you have the opportunity to, you know, get a job tomorrow doesn't mean you're going to do it. You know, when you're in poverty and you're just stealing, you know, to survive or to put food for your family, I'm not saying that it's right. Of course it's wrong. But it is going to take a long time to turn that around. It can be done. But that's what's happening right now with Trump. People that want to spend their time on witch hunts and trying to find every way to impeach him and the border and everything else, they better really look at their backyard. Look at AOC. I know a lot of you don't follow politics, but I'm sure you know who Cortez is. All right? I think people forget that she's supposed to be representing the Bronx. You know, for everybody that are big-time hardcore fans of hers, name me three things that she's done for the Bronx since she's been in office. You see where I'm going with this? Anyway, speaking of Cortez, Cockboy, Fuck, Marry, Kill, Slap, The Squad Edition, Cortez, Omar, Presley, Rashida Tlaib. First off, I can't kill any of them. I don't kill. I mean, I kind of even feel bad swatting a spider on a wall. I usually will vacuum them up with a vacuum cleaner, and then this is true, everyone. Just to show you how bad I feel sometimes. Last week, a spider was crawling on my wall, and my girl just freaked out over it. So instead of just taking my shoe and going splat, I fucking took the vacuum cleaner, I sucked it up in the vacuum cleaner, and then I opened up my bedroom window, lifted up the screen, and emptied the fucking vacuum cleaner so the spider could fucking live another day outside of my house. True story. I was doing a show last week, and right before we went live, there was a bug on my wall. I tried to fucking kill it, and unfortunately, I missed. It fell on the floor, and I don't know where it went. But now I can't kill anybody, so if you want to do fuck, marry, blah, 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 blah instead, but yeah, the kill stuff, no more. You got to be careful with these topics too, Cockboy. I know it's funny, and I love, you know, I'll answer anything. You guys know that. Even though there's one question this week that I did not answer, I can't explain why, but you'll know soon enough. That person knows who he is. He does a podcast too. But, you know, with some nationalities, you got to be really careful what you say, even if it's just a joke. You know, Cortez, this is hard, man, because, you know, how do you answer, you know, Omar? You know, Omar, you know, I don't agree with what she says. You know, is it wrong for me to say that she's cute? Is it wrong for me to say that, you know, something complimentary to her? See, that's why I really tread water lightly with this. Is anybody going to hear what I'm saying? No. Am I saying it in, you know, hate? No. But at the same time, though, it gets a little bit uncomfortable with stuff. Not on me. I could care less. I could say to you right now, yeah, I'd fuck Omar. I would fucking kill Tlaib. I'd fucking slap Presley, and I'd fucking slap Cortez even further. You know what I mean? Or if I was forced to marry any, I probably would marry Cortez, believe it or not. You know? But, yeah, I just answered your question. Do I really think that Sonny Kiss is a nice ass than Rico Constantino? I don't remember Rico's ass. And I talked to Rico not too long ago. Actually, sent a contribution myself to his page. He had those medical bills. Very, very nice guy, man. Really, really nice guy. He went out of his way and not only thanked me, but, you know, he had a really nice conversation. I hope he's doing better. You know, I didn't know much about him back then, other than I knew about the law enforcement and everything else, but I never really paid close attention to Rico's ass, to be honest with you. And Sonny Kiss, I don't pay attention to his ass either. It's just that a lot of people started talking about Sonny Kiss. They wanted my take on it. And when I started, you know, really, I mean, I saw the AEW stuff and I seen the other matches, but I started really looking a little bit further and you see all these ass shots. How can you, you know, avoid it? But, you know, I've given compliments to Sonny Kiss lately. And I think some people are just a little bit too sensitive when it comes to certain characters. And Sonny Kiss is a character and flamboyant. And I have no problem with the character. Did I watch the second round of Democratic debate? No, I have not yet. It took place yesterday. Unfortunately, I actually had tons of work last night, so I didn't get to watch it. My thoughts on Pete Buttigieg, who happens to be a veteran, likes his M&Ms with peanuts. Is he the one that's gay? You know what? I don't really care if somebody is gay or not, to be honest with you. You know, what I don't like is because you're black, and please, everybody, hear me out. Because you're black, if someone that's not black criticizes you, you accuse them of racism. If you are gay and someone criticizes your views, you are homophobic. If you are a woman and somebody criticizes your views, you are sexist. You know, that's the one problem I have with this world right now more than anything else. That if you fit a certain race, creed, color, religion, too many people, not all, and it's a tiny percentage, but too many people, when you dare criticize them, they immediately accuse you of one of those labels. And that is terrible. And I think a majority of people see that, and it's terrible, and I wish it wouldn't be. But I don't think that's changing anytime soon. So I don't think Buttigieg has any shot of becoming president right now. He's too young. And, you know, some of the things that he says do make sense. But, you know, again, there's so much debt going on. Some of the things that they want to do, the Democrats on the left, if this was 15 years ago, possible. Look at the debt from 15, 20 years ago and look at it now. And then you understand why. You know, again, for anybody that follows blah, 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 you've heard me said this before. Elizabeth Warren wants to give free health care to everybody, a free school, or Bernie Sanders wants to waive everybody's fucking tuitions. But yet, on the opposite side of Elizabeth Warren's mouth, she's talking about she fears that the economy's going to crash. Well, if you know the economy's going to crash, how the fuck do you offer people free shit? That's like me looking at my bills and saying, honey, you know what? I think I'm going to lose my job tomorrow, and I'm not going to be able to pay these bills. What happens, you know, if I let's go buy a car. Come on. Seriously? The problem is the media don't put two and two together like that. It's up to us, unfortunately. Kyle Kaczmarski, in his opinion, there's two problems in the United States that really need fixing. Healthcare and insurance and college. What do I think? First off, healthcare across state lines, number one. I'm a broker. I have an insurance license, 20 years. You let health insurance be bought across state lines, you watch how some of those prices drop significantly. You need to reel in fraud. There are so many fraudulent claims out there. You need to start holding people accountable. You also need to change the laws that if somebody does a frivolous lawsuit and loses, that they are responsible for paying back legal fees or whatever it is. You see how many people think twice before filing a frivolous lawsuit. As far as college goes, man, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. These colleges are very greedy, and you know, people keep paying the prices. You want college tuition to go down? Let those colleges have a lot of seats that need to be filled that nobody wants to go, and you see how fast that tuition drops. Who are some of the wrestlers that I'd like to see start a podcast? For him, it's Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and JBL. Kevin Nash, absolutely. JBL has, you know, talked a little bit, you know, on podcasts. JBL on a regular basis would be very interesting because he has such strong political views and he is very, very outspoken. You know, look, as long as you can speak English fluently and you are, you could keep somebody's attention, I think almost any wrestler out there that has any type of history can keep people's interest for the foreseeable future. I swear to everybody, I'm not comparing myself to wrestlers in any way, shape, or form. But if you would have said to me 23 years ago that I would still be doing this and have the audience that I have and be on Pandora Radio and on the cusp of being on CBS Radio. And yeah, you know, those things do not, you know, pay anything for the most part. But, you know, to have this kind of exposure and have a loyal following like I do and consistently be one of the top most listened to shows out there, I would have thought you were nuts. You don't think I notice online? I see it like every 2 weeks, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's a forum. I always see, oh, you know, what are some of the podcasts that you recommend and listen to? And the in thing to do about yours truly for about 15 years now is to never mention my name. Or if you do the opposite, you know, what are some of the most god-awful podcasts out there? People will race to mention my name, you know. And to be honest with you, I take it as a badge of honor. I can't speak for Kev. I can't speak for other co-hosts that I do shows with. I can't speak for co-hosts I did shows with from yesteryear. But I am not ever interested in being, oh, he's such a good guy. He's such a nice guy. No, I tell it like it is. If you don't like it, nobody forced anybody to listen. I just find it funny where I'm, you know, the worst person out there, but yet I have arguably the most listeners that from a non-professional podcast out there. I mean, how do you put the two together? You know, what is it, like the wrestling magazine from yesteryear, and you'd have a wrestler who would be in the most popular category and the most hated category? I don't talk from both sides of my mouth. Have I done shows with co-hosts over the years that talk on both sides of their mouth? Absolutely. Do I like it? I fucking hate it. You know, I always feel, have the balls to stand up for yourself. I think one of the worst things that I have seen in podcasts now, because of social media and because of the fear of getting criticized, is you say something, you speak your mind, could be a little controversial. The minute some people give you a little bit of heat, I was just fucking around. No, you just can't handle the heat. I will never, ever do that. There are tons of podcasters out there that do that. There are podcasters that I am friends with online that do that. Hey, look, I say to myself, God bless them. Their listeners can, you know, like it and put up with it. You know why a lot of listeners do put up with stuff like that? And this is no disrespect to anybody out there individually, but let's face facts. You see the level of PC culture that's out there. That's not by two people. That's by a large group of people. So when people talk on both sides of their mouths, they do appease the people who talk on both sides of their mouths themselves, or want the good, you know, the innocent discussion. How dare you say something like that? I was only kidding around. Oh, ha, 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 ha. No, I'm not interested. I like being genuine. If I get criticized, so be it. I get heat, so be it. Today, I got a message that I got cursed out by, I think, Viscera's widow. Not really cursed out, but Nelson Fraser, God rest his soul, Viscera. Because I remember back then when she filed the lawsuit, you know, I criticized her. I gave my reasons why. And she fucking put down my shows, gave a horrible review saying that she's a good person. I don't doubt that she's probably a good person. I don't know. But my perception when she filed the lawsuit was a little ridiculous. Your fucking husband is 950 pounds. He dies from a fucking heart attack because he's morbidly obese. And you fucking think it's because of a chair shot to the head? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, you know, you think that there are other parts involved? Fucking, the guy didn't get fucking 900 pounds, and I'm exaggerating, but the guy didn't get 900 pounds because he ate vegetables all day or because he fucking didn't. He fucking needed money to buy all that food. He fucking wrestled and battered his body to support his eating and to probably take care of her and to, you know, that doesn't make Viscera a bad person, But the thing is that sometimes when someone, you know, does damage to their body and they meet their demise, sadly, you can't fucking all of a sudden put the blame on everyone else and fucking file lawsuits and stuff like that and not think you're not going to get criticized back. But she fucking, you know, did a number on me. Now, you know what's going to happen. You know, me, you know, I said what I said. I stand by it. It's just an opinion. You know, another podcaster out there may turn around and backtrack. Well, you know, I don't have all the facts. And, you know, the more I think about it, blah, 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 blah. Not interested. Not interested. What are some wrestlers? Oh, we did that one already. Jason Lynn, big Minnesota Twins fan. Trade deadline is over. And, yeah, I've been taking notice, Jason. We saw the Miami Marlins trade Sergio Romo and two other players to Minnesota for Lewin Diaz. We just learned of the Giants trading Sam Dyson to the Twins for Javelin Davis, Kai Wei Tang, and Prelander Baroa. You know, look, I said for a long time the Twins needed some more pitching. And that seems like what they focused on at the trade deadline. They're in first place, I think, by 3 games over the Cleveland Indians. I'm still not convinced that they will win the division this year, but they are on the right track. They I think Byron Buxton just got off the DL, and CJ Cron is on a rehab assignment. Yeah, I said earlier I don't watch baseball like I used to, but I follow it closely. I do my research. I follow it. I'm very interested in it. But I just don't find myself watching individual games. And my early prediction still seems strong. If you remember in April, my prediction was the Yankees and the Dodgers rekindling their feud in the World Series this year. We'll see what happens. So I think the Twins are on the right path. They did not hurt their farm system at the expense of getting a player or two just for, you know, the remainder of the season. You know, let's see what happens. Definitely got a shot there. Sharon Pierce, smart cookie there. By the way, tell your husband I said happy birthday again. She is slick. Because I don't focus on my birthday all that much. I don't talk about my birthday all that much. I try to be very vague online because you could do simple IntelliSearches searches and get some really personal information on people. So there's certain boundaries I try to keep, you know, quiet. Doesn't mean I won't answer questions, though. And I see what she did there. What is something memorable in the world of wrestling and something outside of the world of wrestling the year I was born? Now, I start bringing up specific news items. It gives away some incidentals. I don't know if that was by design, but she is a very smart cookie, and I say that as a compliment. You know, look, I'll say this. First off, you know, I'm a big Mets fan, always was a Mets fan. For a very short period of time, I was a diehard Yankees fan until they got rid of Reggie back in 82. Yes, I'm a little bit older than some of you out there. But I talked recently about a gift that Mish got me a couple of years ago. It was original drink coasters when the Mets won the World Series in 69. Was I a fan of the Mets in 69? No. I mean, Yeah, I wasn't, you know, around at the time. But when the 69 Mets won the World Series and they had those couple of years of dominance after, you know, I was alive, but I was too young to understand baseball. Right around the time I was born, the men climbed on the moon. They walked on the moon. So I'm right around that time frame. As far as wrestling goes, though, I have looked over the years wrestling in the late 60s and early 70s, and there's not a whole lot. I mean, nothing, because you know why? I mean, look, we just lost Harley Race. But even when you go back and you look at Harley Race's career, most people will go back to the early 70s, mid 70s, late 70s. You know, I mean, it's not... That does not mean that he debuted at that time, but the point is that, you know, when you go back to the 60s, I wasn't alive in the 60s, and you go back to the early 70s, I mean, who do they talk about the most? Bruno? You know what I mean? And I'm from New York all my life, so on the Northeast, I guess Bruno was the guy, you know, at that time. But, you know, as far as wrestling goes, unfortunately, you know, I go back to when I was born and around that era to try to find some gems just to see what it was like to be a wrestling fan in the late 60s and early 70s. And I really don't find much. But you got to also remember, too, a boatload of matches and footage was not kept or not recorded at that time. And people, for the most part, did not have VCRs in the early 70s. Actually, it was just like reel-to-reel. So Don Tony's political advisor: if a time comes when I feel I can no longer do the DTKC show, would I end the show for good or try grooming someone else to take over with Kev? You know, I'm always honest, and I'll say it straight out. When it's time, let me say it like this. One thing I vowed never to do, going back to the early 2000s, when I was doing hotlines with Matt Zombie and Brian Damage, doing hotlines with Joey 924, and then later podcasts, and then podcasting with Kev Castle and Mish and everybody else. The one thing I vowed is that I'm not going to do a show with someone just to do a show with someone. I'm not going to continue to do a show with someone simply because other people want me to do a show with someone. The reason why I have no problem doing a DTKC show is because I'm not friends with Kev Castle in the real world. That's not an insult towards him. That's not an attack towards him. He's a friendly guy. I'm friendly with him through the shows. We're friends through the shows. But I don't break bread with him. I don't know nothing about his personal life. I don't hang out with him. I don't mingle with him. We don't talk personally. I never had that relationship with anybody in Hotline or Podcast Land. I mean, we're friendly through the shows, but the one thing that sort of annoys me a lot online, and that's why I purposely, strategically, on my Twitter account, if you look at my profile, it does not show the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show at all, because I am much more than just one podcast, just like Kev Castle is much more than just one podcast. You know, I do DTKC show. I do Breakfast Soup. I do blah, blah, blah. I do the History show. I do Breakfast with Blasi. You know, only one of those shows involves him. Yes, we do a Tuesday show, which really is an extension of Monday, and that's why I didn't bring up Breakfast Soup Live, because Tuesday's Breakfast Soup Live is an extension of Breakfast Soup. So when only 25% of your podcast is with one person, I know we've been doing the show for a long time, but when I write stuff online, when I give opinions on shows, when I give opinions whether I'm on a show with someone else or myself, you know, I always voice my own opinion. I don't speak for no one else. And I don't like when someone else voices something that I totally disagree with, but I'm commingled or bunched into it simply because we do a show together. A lot of my views are the complete opposite of Mish, are the complete opposite of Kev Castle. And that's the reason why the shows, I think, are great. Because there is no personal, you know, feelings attached to it. We do a show. We have great convo. You know, we have great debates at times. We have good discussions. We're all wrestling fans. Mish, myself, Kev, Joey, John, everybody. You know, but when the show ends, that's the extent of my conversations with Kev. I know a lot of you out there, you know, oh, why don't you just get together and hang out? And this, look, I did so many fucking wrestling events. Anybody I did hotlines and shows with at the time had every opportunity to come. All right, Joey 924, Black Moses, they came to Philly and they had a great time. You know, I did shows in Long Island. You know, one or two shows, I had a couple of people go. Matt Zombie, Brian Damage, I hung out with them a few times. I went to the diner with fucking Matt Zombie like seven times. But did I call him after that night? You know, hey, what's going on? How you feeling? How's the family? Is that? No, we didn't do that. The shows are the shows. And it's just not that friendly, intimate thing. We had Lucky 13 in Brooklyn earlier this year. Unfortunately, Kev didn't go. So, you know, that was the time for everybody to get together. And, you know, as of right now, I am going to Florida next year. Whoever goes, goes. But, you know, that's it. We do the shows. So, you know, the only time I ever felt that I would stop doing a DTKC show, other than health, family, responsibilities, personal stuff going on, is if you know, the energy is not there, or the work. The one thing I vowed I never would want to do is come up with a list of topics. Hey, did you see this? No, I didn't get to see it. Hey, did you see this? No, I didn't get to see it. But I saw Raw. Oh, you know, what you want to talk about this? Oh, did you read this? No, I didn't read it. Oh, let's talk about this. Oh, did you see this? No, I didn't get to see it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we haven't gotten to that. It hasn't happened with Kev. It hasn't happened with Mish. It hasn't happened with anybody I do shows with. But I've thought about it in the past. Like, when would I ever, you know, consider stopping a show? Real life, family, health, or, you know, if I start putting together topics and stuff and it's one-sided conversation. The one thing, and I'll be straight up and honest, because I hold nothing back and it's not controversy. I mean, Kev can hear everything I'm saying and there's nothing that it should be offensive. You know, he's one half of the show and deserves to be one half of DTKC show. All right, because, you know, we both do the show together. But, you know, the one thing I get a lot is people say to me, oh, how come you didn't talk about this? How come you didn't touch on this? How come you didn't get into this? Because when I prepare for every show and put all the notes together and I go on a 2 or 3 minute rant about a topic and then, you know, hoping Kev will give me a good rebut, instead get, oh, I agree. Oh, I agree. How do you have a conversation with that? So when that happens, I put an X on that topic. I don't do that topic again. I save it for breakfast with Blasi. I save it for breakfast soup. I save it for another show, you know. But let's be fair here. Let's turn the tables. There are topics that Kev wants to talk about that I'm not really much interested in. All right. Most of the topics lately that I've only expressed disgruntledness with is I don't like addressing rumors because some goofy podcaster online said something or because a few people on Twitter tweeted something. You know, I don't do that. That's why a boatload of bullshit news that you read online never reaches my lips because I take pride in being right. I've said for fucking 20 years, I don't want to be first. I want to be right. Just because there's fucking 15 topics online that every washwoman is talking about doesn't mean I talk about those 15 topics on the show. Another thing, too, is health. All right. I said health, too, in the past. All right. I'm getting older. I'm getting surgery in three weeks. I've been dealing with crazy, excruciating pain whenever I sit up for long periods of time. I have sucked it up and done the shows, and I promised myself I would not slack on the shows because you don't deserve slack. But I can't do shows to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning anymore on a Monday night. I have to get up at 6. Kev works out of his house most of the time. He's got a much more convenient schedule. I wish I could have Kev's schedule, and that's a compliment. So he can go to bed, get up at 11 maybe. Or maybe he has to get up early and then just goes back to bed. I have to get up at 6 and leave. I do not want to end Monday shows live. But when I say we got to go 60 to 75 minutes, I say it all the time. If Kevin wants to continue talking to everybody, he could talk to 5 o'clock in the morning. But come, you know, certain time, I'm done. And, you know, it's not going to change overnight. You know, this has been an announcement that's been about a month now. And yeah, some shows are still going close to 2 hours, and that's more my fault than anything else. And I'm not trying to hurt the shows. I'm not trying to disappoint you or Kev or anybody else. But Mondays need to end in less than 90 minutes. I can't do it no more. So when does the show end? You know, if I physically can't do it, if I see that, you know, that the conversations are so one-sided, or if I just don't want to do it no more. I'm not going to feel like I actually, this is a good thing to say. Recently, I was talking to Mish. We're going to start doing a video podcast. It's going to be something outside of DTKC Show and Soup. It's going to be something totally different. May not even have to do with wrestling. We don't know yet. I got to get the surgery and stuff before we could even consider this further. And I was having a conversation with Mish on Facebook about it. Now, I have two different threads open on Facebook with Mish. One is just Mish and I. And the other one has Kevin there, too, because sometimes we three-way talk about the shows and topics, and, you know, we go over stuff. Fine. I didn't realize that the conversation that I opened up talking to Mish with on Facebook was the one that included Kev. I thought I didn't realize it. I didn't pick the right one. So Kev saw everything that we wrote, and he saw it about 2 hours later, and he responded back. He goes, "Don't I have any say into this?" And I said, "No." I said, "Nobody's married to each other. He can do anything he wants whenever he wants. Doesn't have to be through me. It doesn't have to go through Mish. It doesn't have to go through anybody. So, you know, he could do it every once." Then he talked about the idea of him and his brother doing a show together, which I thought was a fabulous idea. You know, but the thing is just because he does it with his brother doesn't mean it has to be in the DTKC channel. Doesn't mean it has to be in a Wrestling Soup channel. You know, anybody could do anything they want with anybody they want at any time, anywhere. Nobody's contractually obligated to anybody. So, you know, if I feel that, you know, I can't do it anymore, or if I don't want to do it anymore, then I stop. But I say this with 100% honesty right now. I enjoy doing a DTKC show with Kev, and the fact that we do not communicate outside of the show makes it even better, because I don't know what he's thinking in a lot of topics. And when I legitimately say to him, like, "Bravo, you know, exactly what I wanted to say," that's not pre-rehearsed. We don't think about stuff beforehand. I don't talk to him beforehand. I don't screen things beforehand. You know, the only thing that I ask, that all of you ask, is that, you know, if there's some important things going on in the world of pro wrestling, that we all, you know, follow it and be ready to talk about it. And not everything makes the show, and not everything is discussed. But overall, you know, he deserves just as much credit for the DTKC show being as highly ranked as it is as far as listenership and volume than anybody. The only other thing is, and I've said this too, equipment. You know, recently I got a complaint through my hosting company that Pandora was not thrilled about audio quality. I don't want to get into details there. And yeah, Pandora doesn't pay us a penny for being on there. But the idea that, you know, some places are picking up the show because of how many people listen to it, even though it could be politically incorrect and controversial, is awesome. You know, but if, you know, Pandora says to me, "Look, you know, audio's got to be better, or, you know, nothing." Sorry, I'm not going off Pandora radio because, you know, the equipment is not up to par. If I have to improve something, I will. That's just the way it is. But honestly, there's no controversy in anything I just said. DTKC show is doing great. We have some great discussions. I come off as an asshole a lot. I admit it. He comes off as a good guy a lot. I admit it. I think that dynamic is needed. I think if we got along perfectly, I think if we agreed on everything, it would be a boring fucking show. So I like debate. I like challenging him. I like getting heated and loud. It ain't personal. You think I get fucking loud with him? I want to kick his ass? No, it's just getting passionate. I never, and I've said this before, growing up, I never liked debating people. I hated it. I took debate in school, and I thought it sucked. I tried every way possible to avoid it. Now, I drool when I have the opportunity to debate. I know some of you, especially on Patreon, that we talk personally, we challenge each other, and we have some pretty heated discussions. And when there's a topic that we know is going to hit the DTKC show, the Jimmy Uso, DUI, I was drooling. I'm like, I can't fucking wait to talk about this on the show, because I know my take was a little bit different than his. It's not a matter of I'm right and he's wrong, or he's right and I'm wrong. When you debate someone, the idea of debating someone is to win the debate, or to, you know, to dominate the discussion. Now, keep in mind, though, and anybody that ever had debate clash, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you agree to debate something, you might be taken on a side that you're not particularly thrilled about. The perfect example was Scarlett Bordeaux. You know, we were going to have a debate, not a discussion, a debate, two totally different things. And, you know, I wanted to take the side that, you know, this guy that grabbed her was not trying to sexually, you know, grope her. And it was more of like, you know, oh, my God, I touched her. I grabbed everybody. Look, you know, just, the guy just looked like a reject. All right. Am I perfectly 100% feeling that way? No. But I took that side. I chose to. So anyway, Rich Maharg, where do I see myself at 75 years old, financially, health, everything like that? Hopefully not dead. Hopefully not dead. But I will say this, man. The years are fucking flying by. You know, before you know it, people are in their 50s. They're in their 60s. They're in their 70s. So, you know, do I think anything major is going to change the world, like a new social media outlet, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram? I think there'll be a variation of that. I think there's gotta, with all of the conservative side feeling that they're being censored, they're being shunned on social media. I'm shocked that some billionaire out there who's a conservative hasn't created an alternative. I know that there's been some sort of variations over the years, but I definitely see other forms of social media forming to combat some of what's going on. You're kind of starting to see that a little bit with YouTube, because YouTube cut a lot of their revenue and stuff like that, and a lot of people are moving to, what the hell's the name of that fucking, oh my God, Mish, forgive me. I can't remember the name of the channel right now, but you know, I know a lot of you know it by now. There's some other outlets, there's some other options. Did I ever think that I would be on Discord? No. So yeah, there'll definitely be some other options in the future. And I think it will go. When MySpace came out, did anybody ever think that there was going to be a variation of MySpace? Not really. Not really. But there were obvious limitations with MySpace. So yeah, no, I think video is going to be much more prevalent in the future. I think that there'll be some social media outlets. And yes, I know you could stream, you know, Twitch and all this other stuff, but I think video is going to take more of a stranglehold on social media in the future. Another Amazon? Sure. Why not? I mean, you know, there's going to be some big time retail outlets out there that will compete with Amazon. Was it Walmart that recently did this deal where they had like second day shipping for free and stuff like that? I want to see the progression of drones. I want to see if that ever really, really takes off, pun intended. That will be interesting. I'm very curious about drones. I really want to see it. That would be amazing to see 25, 30 years from now, you know, maybe even sooner. Okay. And Andrew Number Four, when I first heard OPP, I know it's totally out of the box. Do I remember back then the rumor of it being standing for other people's pussy? Absolutely. You know, and for people that I'm sure, even if you're younger, you probably have heard it at a doctor's office or a supermarket. You're down with OPP. Yeah, you know me. Yeah, I know. I was around when it first came out. You know, when it first came out, we were all wondering what OPP stood for, but I remember this a long time ago. I don't think it was Video Music Box. Anybody in New York remember Video Music Box? Anybody that's into like old school hip hop, go on YouTube, type in parentheses, Video Music Box. I think you'll really not only enjoy it, but you'll be surprised. You'll look at that and you'll say, Don Tony was into this shit. The fuck? Telling you, it was awesome. I don't remember if Video Music Box was around when OPP came out, Naughty by Nature, but I do remember some music show talking about it. They weren't cursing, obviously, but you know, basically the definition that I always remembered was that one of the members of the group, Naughty by Nature, either knew a drug dealer or knew someone that, you know, I guess they would say you're down with OPM or OP something. And might have even been other people's money. And they decided they wanted to make a song out of it, but instead of that, they used OPP. And if you look at the lyrics from OPP, towards the latter part in the song, they kind of explain, it kind of leads to the idea that OPP for men, heterosexual men, would be other people's pussy. But for women, it was almost like other people's property. And if you read the lyrics, it kind of like falls into place. But yeah, I definitely heard at that time the rumors that it was other people's pussy. But you know what? It could have very well meant that for the more than anything in the beginning. But that song, I don't think anybody expected it to really go pop like it did. When all the pop stations were playing that as well, I think they obviously realized that they can't be really controversial about it. And that's really it. Everyone, don't forget, check out our great friends in the podcast land that also have their own shows. I shouted out Stell very recently. Remember, he's got a soccer podcast, and lose $2, you can sign up on his Patreon. He's got shows going back to 2013. Texas Podcast Massacre, you can find them at the same website address. Great podcast that focuses on horror films and pop culture films from yesteryear. Very, very creative, very, very unique. I'm not just saying it. I'm telling you, I see all the time people writing on social media. Sometimes when I see people writing it, even though we give you like 7 different recommendations and almost none of them have to do with wrestling, I almost feel like some people ignore those recommendations because they just want to communicate with people. Like, they're more about having a conversation than actually being having recommended a podcast. Rocked Reviews, very unique podcast that focuses on oddball albums, music from yesteryear, more in the rock music scene. A lot of albums that we look back on and discussed, but for some reason made a lot of money. DJ Dell's Sneaker Addict. Check him out on YouTube under the name The Sneaker Addict. He's got his podcast that reviews sneakers, but also does a lot of wrestling-related stuff, a lot of interviews. You have Christ in the Toyverse, Bob O'Mac, reviewing a lot of collectibles, bobbleheads. He's done little satires of mine. Hopefully you all saw the little satire of Star Trek with my bobblehead, which was fucking hilarious. Raul Romo's House of Cards, he's on eBay. Pro wrestling cards, vintage packs, you name it, he's got it. Search him out on eBay. And also on eBay, you have Your Best Bargains LLC. He's got an Amazon store and an eBay store. I am a repeat customer. Everyday items, collectibles, you name it, he's got it. And finally, last but not least, Elman Shah, great artist. He's got a display store, does a lot of pop culture artwork on metal that you can hang up on display in your bedroom, your office, your man cave. A lot of people like to use that term. Go to my website, dontony.com. There's a link to his store right there. I have bought some of his artwork, and he's very, very talented. And with that, I bid you farewell. Went a little bit longer than I thought I would. My mouth actually held out. I'm a little surprised. But I'm still pissed off, man. I was so looking forward to using that microphone today, but I guess it'll wait for the history show. Don't expect my voice to be drastically different, because I have a mixer here that I still have to configure and tweak because of the new microphone. But for now, when I get it, I'm just going to unplug the other one, plug the new one in, do the history show, try it out, and then next week when I got some free time, I will tweak it further. So remember, 3 weeks from today, I will be getting the gallbladder taken out. So that week, I will likely be taking off, or from the middle of that week to the middle of next week. Will it affect the shows? No. I'll find a way to do them, even if I have to do some in drips and drabs, but we'll get them done. We'll get them done. Everyone, be well. I'll talk to you soon, and have a great rest of the week. Ciao.
Support the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show on Patreon. Get access to thousands of hours of back episodes. Get bonus episodes
and exclusive shows. Castle Chronicles.
Breakfast Soup.
Pay-per-view recaps. DVDs.
Smear koozies. Tattoos.
Mush. And more.
Support the show that's entertained millions for over 16 years. Patreon.com/Don Tony. Once again, Patreon.com/Don Tony.